Welcome to Raw Mind Sports, where we dig into the minds of athletes and sports fanatics. I'm your host, Ryan Primetime Jones. If you have a love and passion for sports, then this is the show for you.
I got Craig Dawson up here. He was phenomenal in high school down in the Kinston area, also a great basketball player at Wake Forest, and now he's coaching in Virginia. I'll let him discuss the rest of those topics a little bit later in this episode. So, on the get-go, Greg, it's great to have you on the show.
Great to be here, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, man, it's an honor. It's an honor. So, let's kind of dive into your life and what you're doing from the past, what you did in the past, to now. Let's talk about your childhood. How was your childhood and where were you born and raised at?
Born and raised in Kinston, North Carolina, man, the Hoop State capital of the world, in my opinion, and a whole lot to do there, but basketball reigns supreme, and the support that you get from everybody there, from the time you're small to the time, even now, as a grown-up, that support is still the same. So, I'm one of five children. I'm the baby, so I'm kind of the spoiled rotten one, but, you know, I grew up in a basketball family. You know, my dad played, my uncles, everybody in my family played basketball. So I don't know that I had a choice, but it's the one thing I fell in love with since I was 4 years old.
Oh, man, that's interesting. So what did your uncle instill in you in basketball? If you don't mind telling the viewers, I think I might know. But kind of dive deep in his mindset, giving his insights to you in the game of basketball.
Well, luckily, you know, my dad was the first person to really instill that in me. You know, my dad played at Lenoir Community College for 2 years and actually thought about going to play at Wake Forest, but actually enrolled in the Army instead. But my dad actually led the nation junior college in scoring at 35 points a game with no three-point line. So everybody don't know, but that's exactly who the person that taught me how to shoot a basketball. So I give a lot of credit to him for that. So he instilled a lot of those values in me early, and I was lucky enough to have Uncle Tony Dawson played at Florida State and Jerry Stackhouse at North Carolina to be able to tag along with those guys as a little kid and work out with them. And as I got older, playing against NBA players during the summer and then, you know, going back and playing high school, you felt like it was a whole lot easier after playing with those guys all summer. So they just instilled the hard work in me and just understanding that it's a team game, and the harder you work, the better you're going to become.
Did you ever have any one-on-ones where, like, you kind of beat up on those older guys?
I had some moments. they gave me a lot of confidence. So, you know, Jerry and I used to play a lot of one-on-one, and I remember he bet me $100 one day. that if I won, you know, he'd give it to me, and it started raining like halfway through the game. We were outside at my grandmother's house, and everybody's looking out the window watching. And, you know, people ask me now, you know, how do you get such a quick release? It's because of those guys. I didn't have a choice. It was the only way I could get the ball to the rim if I shot it fast enough. And, you know, a couple of those times I was able to actually win and make my pockets a little fatter.
I agree. Being a legend in basketball and then getting some money for some food.
Yes. it's a win-win situation.
Yeah. When did you discover the passion? I mean, did you discover it right away when your dad started teaching you, or it was?
Yeah. You know what? I've never played another sport because of the love that I have for the game. You know, since I was four, I used to tag along with my dad all the time. To gyms, him playing in, you know, men's leagues and things of that sort. And then I just couldn't get enough of it. You know, he would ask me if I wanted to play football, even try to sign me up for karate once. And I was like, I'm not doing it. You know, if it's taking me off the basketball court in the afternoons, I don't want to have anything to do with it. So it's the one thing that's kind of just stuck with me, for the long haul. Even though I don't really necessarily play anymore, I still have a passion to help kids and help them reach their goals as well.
So, I mean, do you have any children? I'm just curious right now for the viewers out here.
I do, man. I have a 9-year-old little girl. And she is daddy's girl for sure. And the good thing about it, she does not play basketball. And I love that.
I guess that relieves a little pressure for now for you, you know, because
I can imagine. She does. You know, she's really big into dancing and musical theater and chess, and she's smart. I mean, she's already skipped a grade. And, you know, I'm happy that I can just sit and enjoy watching her do things that I know nothing about, so I don't have to critique at all.
I know that's fun. Kind of gets your mind, gives you a little leisure off the basketball world. So if she wanted to get into karate, would you let her, since you know you were talking about your childhood, would you let her?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. You know, at this stage, as long as she's doing what she's supposed to in school, man, she can do whatever she wants to.
I got you. So tell the viewers where you played at, high school, career, and also in college.
Well, I played at the Kinston High School.
Yeah.
I grew up, man, I could not wait, you know, tagging along with my uncle for his games. I used to actually ride to his games with him. He'd come by and pick me up because there were so many people waiting to get in line. I just had to sneak in through the back door and sit on the bench with those guys. But I could not wait for my turn to play in Viking Gym. I couldn't wait to put that uniform on. And, you know, I had a lot of goals going into it. I told him my eighth grade year that I was going to break every scoring record he ever had at that school. And I did. So it made my pockets a little bit fatter again. So,
man, you had some goals.
I had some lofty goals. And actually, I played JV my freshman year, so I only had 3 years of varsity to do it. You know, luckily, God willing, I definitely got through it.
Wow, no varsity for the – and you played 3 years of varsity? That means you had to. You talked about it a few minutes ago, but it kind of – first of all, reiterate, like, who are your idols, even though you already had talked about it right then,
You know, my dad and my uncles first and foremost, man, but, you know, just growing up, I had a lot of people I loved watching, like, ACC basketball when I was young. Kenny Anderson at Georgia Tech was, like, a huge fan favorite of mine. I mean, the way he could shoot, the way he could handle, the way he could pass, I mean, he was, like, a triple threat guy that could get it done. And then later on, like, my favorite player of all time is Penny Hardaway. You know, 6'7" point guard. You know, even though I can really shoot the ball, probably the most underrated part that people don't know, like, I love to pass. And watching those guys do that and get their teammates involved was always a pleasure to see. And another one is Jason Kidd as well. You know, he could dominate a game without even scoring a point. So
I agree. Walton triple-double. A lot of people talking about Westbrook right now, but back then people must have forgot that Jason Kidd was a walking triple-double.
Yes, indeed.
I don't know how they keep forgetting about this guy.
Most people didn't forget because he just got into the Hall of Fame, so somebody paid attention.
Right. The right ones, we should say. So tell me, since we were talking about Penny Hardaway, since that was one of your favorite idols, do you feel like he just stayed healthy his whole career? Well, he's been up there with Jordan and Kobe, or whoever you consider the GOAT is, of basketball.
Yeah, it'd have been hard for him not to, man. The rapid climb he was going on, you know, to make it to the finals in your second year in the league, and then in the next year, and to have knee injuries, you know, kind of interrupt that. But I think he would have definitely been in that conversation. I don't know if he could have passed those guys, but he would have definitely been in that conversation for sure.
I got you on that. Let's talk about what led you into coaching.
Well, I got hurt. I've had four shoulder dislocations. I dislocated it for the first time my junior year in the ACC tournament, and then again my senior year in the NCAA tournament in the second round in a game we were actually leading at the time and ended up losing. But, you know, the rehab process for an injury like that, 4 to 6 months, I mean, it's pretty grueling. So you're pretty much starting from scratch. And, you know, the fourth time I did it, I was like, you know what, I can't keep doing this, putting my body, you know, through those type things. And I knew I wanted to be involved in the game, in the game somehow. And so I started coaching like a sixth grade AAU basketball team. And I've pretty much done it all so far, which I love that I've been able to do that. You know, so I did that. Then I coached seventh grade boys, eighth grade boys, JV boys.
Oh, wow.
You coached varsity girls for a year. And then I've been doing varsity boys ever since. So I've got my feet wet from the ground up.
Yeah, I see. And I also see that you won during all that trial and error and going through girls basketball and boys basketball. You ended up picking up a nice award. Virginia Prep League Player, Coach of the Year.
Yeah, you know, actually this is my fourth Coach of the Year honor. So I've been blessed, man, being able to do this along the way. But, you know, this one was really, really special. You know, the school that I work at is an all-boys boarding school, and it's really strong academic school. The kids here go to school 6 days a week. Even though it's shortened on Saturday, you know, academics are the priority for them. And before I got in here, our school hadn't even made the state tournament in 15 years, and we've done it twice in the last 3 years. And you know, this past season, you know, I give all the credit to the kids, man. They really bought in and played their hearts out for us. So you know, I really share the award with them and all of our fans.
I see that also with you coaching AAU as well, and as in being successful in coaching right now, you had LaVell Moulton from North Carolina Central give you some great compliments, and also the commissioner of the AAU basketball, boys AAU basketball, John Allen, they kind of praised you a lot. So let's kind of dive into those two guys and what you take from them, man.
LaVell is a great friend of my Uncle Jerry. And so every summer from the time I was in high school, I played in the Chavis League at St. Aug in Raleigh. And we were all on the same team. So I was like the little thirsty kid trying to find out as much knowledge as possible. And LaVell like always included me in everything, you know, that was going on. And I probably asked him a million questions those summers, but he was like a big brother that I looked up to as well. So, you know, we kept in touch all of this time, and you know, I've even dropped by and spent the day with him at North Carolina Central, sitting in on coaches meetings and things of that sort. So, for him to say that, you know, it was really assuring for me that I'm doing the right things and on the right path. And John Allen was actually one of my assistant coaches at my last school, at Forsyth Country Day School in North Carolina. But he used to always talk to me about my AAU playing days because he coached an age group under mine and saw us play a lot. And he could remember stuff that I couldn't even remember, you know, during those times. And he and I, man, we have really hit it off. You know, you don't think now I'm 38 years old and think Coach Allen's like 63. But he's another big brother, big uncle, and he's actually my daughter's godfather. That's how much I trust him, how much I love him. So for him to say those things about me as well, you always got to have that older cat around that can help you with things, and he's definitely my guy.
That's what I always say too. Hanging around older guys, they already been where you've been at. You can learn a lot. They're keep you from making the mistakes.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Before you can do it, because they already know what's going to happen.
Yes. They've seen it 10 million times already.
Right. The OGs of life.
That's right. It got to happen.
Yeah. Let's talk about your star player that's going to Princeton. The guy that signed, Max Jones. Tell me about him and tell the viewers of how great it was to coach a kid like him.
I don't even know where to begin, man. So, you know, Max got here his freshman year, and he was actually coming off a broken shoulder that summer. And he took a charge, and the kid's entire body fell on his shoulder and almost crushed it. So I never saw him play during the fall. I never saw him play before he got here. All I knew that he was really, really smart. And by smart, he was already speaking fluent Chinese as an eighth grader. And when he got here, you know, I saw the first 10 minutes of tryouts, and I knew, you know, he had a chance to be special. In that year, I actually started three freshmen and had eight seniors on the team. And he was actually really surprised that he was starting. He said he's never been, had anyone made him feel like he was one of the best players on a team before. So I thought he had a really good freshman year, and I reached out to some Ivy League schools, and within like five, 10 minutes, four or five had already called or emailed me back that they would keep him on their radar. And so he had an outstanding sophomore year. came back for his junior year. He also played on the soccer team and actually tore his meniscus in the first soccer game and missed his entire junior year. And you know, the type of kid he is, I saw him in his hometown the day he found out. And he actually came up to me and apologized for getting hurt. And I'm like, man, you know, that could have happened anywhere. The main thing for you now is your rehab. It's got to become your season now. No, just come back bigger, faster, stronger. You know, this is not the end of the road for you. And boy, oh boy, did he. You know, one of the things I wanted to do also, after his sophomore year, I actually sent his highlight film to my uncle Tony and my uncle and Jerry, because my uncle Tony's involved in coaching the Stackhouse Elite AAU team.
Oh, wow.
And they both called me on the phone a couple minutes later. I was like, man, who is that? I was like, this is one of my guys. I really need him to play against some tough competition, be around you guys, and hear another voice besides mine. So he actually went and stayed with my uncle for the summer and played in the tournaments, and he did that two summers. And then when he came back for his senior year, he probably had the greatest season in the history of our school for basketball.
That's what they call rebirth.
And the greatest thing about it, man, he's so humble. You know, he had a 4.5 GPA, which is perfect here. And, you know, speaks fluent Chinese, played the cello. He writes poetry, writes short stories. At our school, we have what we call a senior prefect, which is someone who's over the honor system here. And in 129 years of the school, he was the first African-American selected to be the head senior prefect. And when he walked on stage, everybody stood up and gave him a standing ovation. And they said that's never happened here at the school. So not only respected as a basketball player, but, you know, as a person, as a student, you know, just as a human being. And, you know, it definitely came from his parents, because they're the exact same way.
Very unique kid from the way you explained it.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of areas he can go into, so it's not just one area. He's not a particular person. He has a way of building a career in any one of those fields. And his intelligence alone is on another level. In life, not even just basketball, but life.
Yeah, he wants to be a doctor. He actually texted me this past week. He's been texting me every week. And they started their practices and or workouts and things, and he just said, it's hard. It's a lot of what we did here, but he said it's on a different level. You know, everybody's bigger, faster, stronger. But I know he's built for it. He can handle it.
Awesome. Let's talk about high school hoops and how do you feel about the future of high school hoops?
You know what? So I worked the Chris Paul Rising Stars camp every summer, which is the top rising ninth graders in the country. And high school hoops is in a good place, man. I saw some kids this summer that I had to do double takes and think, there's no way this kid's going to be a ninth grader. Just the skill level. Now, you know, having trainers, having guys play on for AAU teams of NBA players, you know, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, you know, they get the hands-on instruction early on. Their skill sets are just far from what I remember growing up and playing against. So I think the game is definitely in good hands.
Oh, man. Let's also talk about, now I know you may have a particular way, and I probably do too, but I'm going to dig into your mind with this.
Okay.
You have some coaches who don't believe in AAU basketball, and you got some who do. Let's talk about that and explain to me what you really think AAU is and what other coaches probably defer from.
Because I think some people have a false perception of what AAU is, an AAU team is. You know, some people say they play AAU, but they really don't. You know, they're playing in other leagues and things, but that are not technically AAU basketball leagues. Yes, there's some dirty things going on there, but for the most part, these coaches are in it for the right reasons, and that's to help the kid. From my stance as a high school coach, I try to be involved and get to know the AAU coaches of the kids, of the teams that my kids play on. One thing I want to make sure that we are, you know, kind of reiterating the same things to them. I tell them what I feel like they need to work on. And they give me their feedback. So it's not like it's the high school coach against the AAU coach. We're working together to help that kid. And like I said before, I don't want that kid to hear only my voice all year long. It's not about me. It's about anybody that can touch and help him. Let's find a way to band together and do the best we can.
I believe that, because sometimes high school coaches need a break from the game, and I feel that AAU, if it's used the moral way and the right way, those get a lot of exposure during the summer and get shown to new different talent. They possibly not play during the high school career, not high school career, but high school year. They might see the same time. So maybe somebody across from California, whatever, unless you want them ESPN top 30, whatever teams, probably the top 100 teams. Right. But yeah, you can travel like that. But if you're not, then you know, you're going to be able to play just your area or whatever conference you're in. It depends on your conference and depends on the rules of that group or the school is in. Like for the end of the day, like those guys can, you know, possibly help them put them in a position to get more recruits, plus bring more college recruiters to their area, and basically help the high school kids, high school coaches, because they can say, well, hey, this kid play here so such, and they can bring them there, drive them there. Mm-hmm. You use the way that you were just basically explaining can help. It's a win-win for the high school.
It is, and I think a lot of people just see AAU as the way for kids to get recruited. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of high school coaches out there that don't do enough for their kids. Like me personally, I make all the highlight films for my kids. I don't charge my kids a dime. I make player profiles for them. I email and call the college coaches myself. I don't feel like that's the family's responsibility. If you're entrusting your kid to play for me, it's my job to help get them seen. Now, it's your kid's job, once they come to see him, to impress. I've never gotten someone a scholarship, but I can help you get it yourself. Because if I have to convince the coach to take you, they didn't really want you in the first place. So you got to make that impression once they come and see you in that gym. It's all on you now, buddy.
And that's what I always tell kids, even one of these coaches, I'm pretty sure you know, like, you can give the kid all the fruits in the world, give them everything they need, but if their mentality and they're not mentally ready for that stage, that's something that's going to be up to them. Like, I tell kids a lot, now I'm pretty sure you tell kids a lot, some kids now just try to wake up and think that the NBA is just going to fall in their lap. They may play the video games. Like, we have kids that,
right,
Fortnite and stuff, they think they can just wake up and just walk into a gym. The guys, I always tell them all the time, I'm pretty sure you yourself playing in college basketball, playing basketball yourself. You know, at the end of the day, those guys are in the NBA or in the NBA for a reason. These guys eat, breathe, and slept the game of basketball. When we probably sleep in the bed, they probably at the court somewhere putting up shots or doing their best to perfect their craft. And that's the love that you got to have to make it to the league. You just can't just sleep and just say, oh, I'm going to make it to the league.
No. It's a lot of hard work in that, and honestly, there are a lot of people that just don't want to do it. Like, they want the end result, but they don't want that journey in between and the hard work that comes with that. But, you know, I tell kids all the time, if you can't enjoy the journey, then the destination won't matter. You got to enjoy what you do, and so you got to just pour your heart and soul into it, but you can't be disappointed with anyone but yourself if you don't want to do the work.
I agree. Well said.